You guys ready for the Word of God? Amen. Today, I'm going to talk on a topic called Dream Maker. And this is my last sermon in a series, The Dreamer, and the last sermon in a series, Heroes. All right? I think I've been here way too long. I'm just ready to go for something new. Before I go into my message, Christmas Eve, we're going to have two services. That's December 24th. It's 5 at 6 and 6:30 p.m., two services, identical services. And if you know somebody in community who has children, invite them. We're going to give away gifts, free gifts to every child. Also, we're going to have cider, cookies, and all those good things. So make plans to be at one of those services. All right. Let's read some scriptures. Psalm 34:19. Psalm 34:19. Let's put that. And I love this verse. And many of you will like it too. Let's read it together. Many are the afflictions of a righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all. Out of them all. Many are the afflictions of righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. We're talking about Joseph, a man who was sold by his brothers into slavery. They bought him and made him a slave in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife had a lustful eye for this young man and wanted to sleep with him, but when he denied her, she yelled rape. And he was put in prison, and he spent 10 years in prison for nothing. But the Lord was with Joseph, and today we're going to discover that our God loves to make his dreams for our life come true. We serve a God who loves to make his dreams for our life come true. How many of you know that God had a dream for Joseph, right? He gave him those dreams. Same thing, God has a dream for your life. God has a purpose for your and mine life. Do you like watching movies? Do you like drama, comedy, action, chick flicks? Come on, guys, who likes here? I like him. I do it for my wife, of course. What is your favorite movies? Sweet Home Alabama, okay? What? Christmas, okay? One of my all-time favorite is Gladiator, Troy, and Pursuit of Happiness. Okay? No, I don't like 300. I love movies. I love action movies, war movies that take place before we had big guns, before we had drones, and laser shooters, okay? I like the movies when men had to fight with swords and spears and things like that. I love those old types of movies. I love movies with great story and great ending. Amen. One of the favorite movies that I like is Pursuit of Happiness. It's with Will Smith when he plays a single dad, broke, and trying to make it in this world. A brilliant young guy who has a son, little son, and they end up on the street because they have no money. But his father says, I'm going to do everything. It doesn't matter what adversity I have to go through. I will succeed for my son, for myself. He was driven. And so he bought these laser machines or some kind of x-ray machine for the hospitals, and he would try to resell them and make money. And eventually he got introduced to an investment firm, and how he had no money, but he had to fake it till he made it. He wore the same suit all the time. How many of you know that movie? He wore the same suit. He was sleeping with his son at a homeless shelter. Right? And even in homeless shelter, they were trying to rub him and things like that. And so he would sleep on the train in New York or wherever they live. They would sleep in a closet, in a janitor's closet, because there's no, in a bathroom. They would lock it and sleep in a bathroom But finally, he made it. And it's based on a true story. The movie is based on a true story. And a man became super successful, super rich. I love those kind of stories. God, in today's message, had a script for Joseph's life. If you look at the Bible, Bible is full of stories like movies where a person is called by God. They go through a lot of trial and persecution and tribulation, and eventually God makes his dreams for that person come true. I love those stories. The story of David, a shepherd boy, despised by his dad, by his brothers, becomes the greatest king of Israel. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those guys were slaves taken by Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, and they rise up to positions of prominence in Babylon. And God uses them to change nations. Jonah's story, how he rescued 120,000 people's city because he was obedient to God. Eventually, he was obedient to God. God has a script, not just for the lives of heroes in the Bible. God has a script for your and mine life. Did you know that? God has a script. God has a story, his story for your life. But God is not the only one who has a story for your life that he wants you to live. Did you know that? The devil has a script for your life. The world has a script for your life. And sometimes you think you have a script for your life. Isn't it true that we want to live our own way? How many times in my life have I tried to do something my own way? I knew God wanted me to do something different, but I wanted to do it my way. And how many times I've stumbled and fallen and hurt myself because I wanted to follow my own script for my life? Well, God loves to tell stories through our lives. God takes an arrogant young man named Joseph, and he has a plan for him. I want him to be the prime minister of Egypt. He says, I want him to save a nation, and I want him to save many nations, right? See, when God has a plan for your life, it's rarely about you. You're being used by him. But it's better to be used by God than by the devil, way better. Because devil will use you and abuse you and throw you out and spit you out. When God uses you, there's great success at the end of every story when God uses you. Because God never abandons us. Although we have to go through the valley of shadow and death, he still always leads us out. And we become more than conquerors in Christ. Amen. So God takes an arrogant young man, Joseph. Imagine if God put him in Egypt at 17 and made him prime minister. Joseph would not be able to handle that. He would continue to be arrogant. His head would get big. So what God had to do, God had to take him through some things. And in your life, God will have to take you through some things. But God is not interested in hurting you. He is interested in promoting you. But there can be no promotion unless God has taken you through something. Let me tell you personally, when my wife and I got married, God had a call for our life, but our marriage was struggling big time. We went through 5 years of hell. She's not here today, but 5 years of hell of marriage. And I'm like, no wonder people want to get a divorce. This sucks. Many times we agreed with her that we will never use the word divorce. But you can bet your behind that I thought about it every day of those 5 years. I wouldn't use it, but I thought about it. And you know what? It was hard. But God had a plan. And today, I can see how Tanya and I were able to help people who are struggling in their marriage. Because we understand what they're going through. Because we've been through it. And God uses that. Amen? We do so many premarital classes. Three premarital chunks of classes we did. Three semesters of classes just this year. Lots of weddings at our church this year. Glory to God. But you know what? We're able to teach and train young couples because we've been through it. When I was 17 years old, gave my life to Jesus, but also got a job at a marketing company. Okay, we were selling certain product. And I knew nothing about marketing. But then they would train us. They would tell us how to knock on doors and how to stand when you're knocking on doors, how to talk to people. Don't talk too close to them. You know, and you know, the interesting thing is that what I learned there when I was 17 years old, I'm still using today. And later I used it in business to make my business successful. See, God sometimes will take you through hard seasons of life so he can use it later for his glory and to a blessing to you. And that's what God did. Listen, so if you're going through something hard today, if you're going, don't give up. Don't abort the dream of God in your life. Because a lot of times people know the dream of God. They discovered the purpose of God for their life. But what they do is like, oh, this is too hard. I'm done. And you conceive a dream, you abort a dream. You conceive a dream, you abort a dream. And you never get to the place that God wants you to be. David said something interesting. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Is that a true scripture? So if you're begging for bread, you're doing something wrong. Maybe you're aborting something, a plan of God for your life. You need to get with God and say, God, what's going on? What is the problem here? God has an individual answer for your problem. He has a dream for you. Last week I was going to read to you a poem. I didn't get to it. But this week I want to read to you. I heard this from Ravi Zacharias, and then I went and searched it, and it is a popular poem, and this is what it says. When God wants to drill a man, thrill a man, and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when he yearns with all his heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world shall be amazed, watch his methods, watch his ways. How he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects, how he hammers him and hurts him, and with mighty blow converts him into trial shape of clay, which only God understand. While his tortured heart is crying, and he lifts beseeching hands, how he bends but never breaks when his good he undertakes. How he uses whom he chooses, and with every purpose fuses him, but every act induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he is all about. When God has a plan for your life, it's not necessarily that he just automatically makes it happen. He takes you through to mold you and shape you. But his goal is the end result. As the potter takes clay and shapes it and molds it, his goal is not to break that clay, but to make something out of it. You know, when we're born, we're all born into sin and very selfish. If you know kids, I have three kids, they're born very selfish, and you have to train them, and you have to mold them, and you have to shape them. You can't just let your kids be selfish. You have to help them. You have to talk to them, right? Same thing with us. When we're born again, God takes us and molds us and shapes us into the image that he wants us to be. Amen. Amen. So maybe today you're hurting a little bit. Bible says rejoice when you're hurting. Because God is working something out in you. And you're going to be a better person after he's done. But never give up. If you're in an abusive marriage, maybe you need separation. But if your marriage is just hard, like, you know, we live in a time when it's hard to have a marriage. Wouldn't you agree? The devil attacks our marriages so much. And there's so many shows on TV that tells us we deserve to be happy. And you're not happy in marriage. You don't feel loved. Well, you know, you should be loved. Well, of course, listen. I only went on first date with my wife once. Right? I'll never have the first date experience again. Right? My courting stage with my wife was only once. I can never repeat it again. And it felt good to court my wife. Right? It felt good. And sometimes what we try to do, we try to reproduce the experience that is only meant to happen once. Help me out. Yeah. Some of you are like, I want to feel like that again. Well, you're not that person again. You can never go back. You can have new experiences. But many of us look back in marriage and say, I wish I had that lust, that chemistry part of marriage, of dating. You know what I'm talking about? It's not hard. We just complete each other's sentences. We don't notice each other's faults. We were so, And then you think, yeah. Whoa, where's your makeup? Kidding. Right? So God has a dream for each and every one of our lives. Just like he had a dream for Joseph, he has a dream for our life. Let me read Jeremiah 29:11. It says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope." Listen, God has plans for you. But I know you have plans for you. And sometimes those plans collide. And I know the devil has plans for you. I know MTV and Bachelor has plans for you. And CNN and Fox has a plan for you. Whose plan will you follow? Somebody who knows you, every single part of you. Somebody who created you perfectly. Somebody who made you beautiful the way you are. Your body, your everything. Or are you going to believe the devil who says, no, God made a mistake. You need to do this and this and this. God knows us. And I'm so glad. I'm an example of trusting God at about age of 18, 19 years old. Never regretted it. Never looked back. Never had a boring day. Never had a dull moment of my life. I have fun in my life with God. People tell me, well, if you don't go drinking, life is boring because you don't know God yet. And you're not following his purpose for your life yet. You're still maybe in the middle, you know, between. And once God's plans becomes your plan, life is fun again. It's so full, you need vacations because life is so full. You're so busy. Amen. God has a script for your life. And you're the actor of the story that God created you for. Did you know that God has a story written? David says this, all the days of my life has been written in the book before I was even born. God has a story for your life. Sometimes he adds other characters or removes some characters because we sometimes waver away from his story. And so sometimes people come in our life, but God has to remove some people out of our life. But anyway, God is not in the movie business. God is in making heroes of faith business. Hold on a second. I didn't get a response I wanted. God is not in a movie making business. God is in a hero of faith making business. Amen. Amen. God wants to take you, a regular Joe. If your name is Joe, I'm sorry. A regular person. And he wants to take a Joseph, a regular Joe, and he wants to do something with his life. But Joseph has to submit to God's will. Notice Bible didn't say that Joseph ran away from Potiphar's house, got caught and brought back. Joseph didn't run away from prison, didn't commit prison break. He stood there in God's plan and he was working for God to complete his purpose. Hallelujah. God takes a boy. And let me read to you what happens to this boy. Genesis chapter 41. And it's not going to be on the screen. I'm just going to read it from my Bible. 2 full years later, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing on the bank of the river. In his dream, he saw 7 fat, healthy cows come up out of the river, and he saw 7 more cows behind him that came out of the Nile, but these were scrawny and thin cows. So first dream, he sees fat cows eating nicely, coming out of the Nile River, grazing, and then he sees skinny cows. Then the scrawny, thin cows ate the seven healthy, fat cows. At this point in a dream, Pharaoh woke up, but he fell asleep again and he had a second dream. This time he saw seven heads of grain, plump and beautiful, growing in a single stalk. Then seven more heads of grain appeared, but these were shriveled and withered by east wind. And these thin heads swallowed up seven plump, well-formed heads. Then Pharaoh woke up and realized it was a dream. The next morning, Pharaoh was very disturbed by the dream. So he called all his magicians and wise men of Egypt. When Pharaoh told them his dreams, not one of them could tell what they meant. Finally, the king's chief cupbearer spoke up. "Today, I have been reminded of my failure," he told Pharaoh. "Some time ago, you were angry with the chief baker and me, and you imprisoned us and in the palace of the captain of the guard. One night, the chief baker and I each had a dream, and each dream had its own meaning. There was a young Hebrew man with us in the prison who was a slave of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he told us what each of the dreams meant. And everything happened just as he had predicted. I was restored to my position as a cupbearer, and a chief baker was executed and impaled on a pole." Listen to this. Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought from the prison. After he shaved and changed his clothes, he went and stood before Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream last night, and no one here can tell me what it means. But I have heard that you, when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "It is beyond my power to do this," said Joseph. "But God can tell you what it means and set you at ease, give you peace." So this is what God is doing in Joseph's life. After 13 years as a slave and in prison, finally, Joseph is ready to go to the big leagues. And listen how what happens to him from prison. "So Pharaoh told Joseph his dreams and my dreams." And then I'm just going to skip to verse 25. Joseph responded, "Both of Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God is telling Pharaoh in advance what he's about to do. The seven healthy cows and the seven healthy heads of grain both represent 7 years of prosperity. The seven thin and scrawny cows that came out later and the seven thin heads of grain withered by the east wind represent 7 years of famine. This will happen just as I have described it, for God has revealed to Pharaoh in advance what he's about to do." God speaks to dreams, even to unbelievers. You see what I'm saying? "The next 7 years will be the period of great prosperity through the land of Egypt." This is the moment God has been preparing Joseph for. All that trouble has been for this moment. "But afterward, there will be 7 years of famine so great that all the prosperity will be forgotten in Egypt. Famine will destroy the land." If you know, they had an agricultural society. If there was no food, it was worse than bubonic plague. It would destroy, it would kill people for miles. And God wanted to save people, so he's prepared this young man. But that's not the end. "The famine will be so severe that even the memory of good years will be erased. As for having two similar dreams, it means that these events have been declared by God, and he will soon make them happen. Therefore, Pharaoh should find an intelligent..." Look at this. He's becoming an advisor of Pharaoh. From prisoner. What happened to Joseph in the prison? He didn't lose himself. What happened to him in suffering and trial? He didn't lose himself. He didn't become depressed and to the point where he can't even speak. He's speaking to the king. Imagine you were presented from prison to Oval Office in front of Barack Obama to interpret a dream. But you don't just interpret a dream. You give him the solution. You give him an advice. As for two similar dreams, yeah, therefore, Pharaoh should find an intelligent and wise man and put him in charge of entire land of Egypt. Find a secretary of agriculture. Create a position. He says to Pharaoh, a boy, a prisoner. He says, create a position. Then Pharaoh should appoint a supervisor over the land and let them collect one-fifth of all the crops during the 7 good years. Here is a principle for us Americans. We've got to put something away. Because we live in a prosperity time, but it's not always going to be a prosperity time. And so you must have some savings. Our country is $18 trillion in debt. That's like $50,000 for every child, adult, and even our dogs of debt. Just our government owns that much debt. $18 trillion. Every person in America now owes $50,000. Some of you never borrowed money and you already owe. Some of you are still in your mama's, you know, and you already owe $50,000, right? But this is what Joseph says. He says, take one-fifth of all the crops during the 7 good years. Have them gather them in all the food produced in the good years. How did Joseph come up with this? How did he come up with this? God give an idea, okay. But I think, let's make it more practical. He had to ration and save in prison. He had to practice what he's talking to Pharaoh about in Potiphar's house. God will always train you for the dream that he has for your life. And many times we're going through hard times and we say, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to educate myself. I'm just going to sit here and wait till God forgot to deliver me. I don't think that was Joseph. Joseph continued to pursue God, to learn, to advance his skills. And that's why he's able to tell Pharaoh what to do. What verse are we on? 36? All right. 35. Have them gather all the food produce in the good years that are just ahead and bring it to Pharaoh's storehouses. Store it away and guard it so there will be food in the cities. That way there will be enough to eat when the 7 years of famine come to the land of Egypt. Otherwise, this famine will destroy the land. When we start the script with God, when we start following God, we don't see the whole picture. But God does. When you started following Christ, when you raised your hand, say, I want to follow Christ, I want him to lead me and guide me. You didn't have the whole picture. And sometimes daily trials test us. And we're like, God, what are you doing? Where are you at? He's always there. He has a plan. He has a plan. He has timing. God knows something you don't know. Amen. God knows something that he wants you to do. So don't get discouraged when you're going through a hard time. Stay strong. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his official, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? So obviously filled with the Spirit of God. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dream to you clearly, no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than you. I got goosebumps. This is too good. From prison. In an hour, now he's going to be over all people of Egypt, the superpower of that time. And he's going to be greater than all people except Pharaoh himself. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. What if you were put over a country? Would you be ready? I wouldn't be. because that's not my calling, right? But I do have a calling, and that calling is to bring thousands of people in our city to Jesus, to fill this place 4 or 5 times a weekend. That's my calling. And that means that if God gave me that dream, that's His dream, not mine, He's going to fulfill it. But I'm involved. I can't sit here and say, well, God, fill this place. No, I have to encourage you. I have to build you up. I have to grow you spiritually so you're mature enough where you have a heart for people who are lost in our community. That's my job. If you don't have the heart for people, if you don't love the people in our community to invite them, well, they might not like it, Pastor. Well, isn't that interesting that you like it? You come here. What do you mean they won't like it? You like it? Yeah, I like it. That's why I invite people here, right? No, maybe they won't like it. That's not for you to decide. Some of you serve here, but you don't invite anybody here. Some of you give money here, but you don't invite anybody here. Why? Has God created a heart in you to love your neighbor as yourself? Because you're going to heaven. I know that. You're saved. But what about people in your school, in your neighborhood, at your job? What about them? Are you ashamed? I'm not. God is preparing this church for something big. God has a dream for New Life Church in our city. We're not going to be here past 5 years because of what God is going to do. Let me tell you a little secret. This church is going to be a big church. We won't be able to fit people. I see a vision. Last Sunday, I was sitting watching a football game, and I had a small glimpses of, I don't know what they are, like a glimpses of vision. And I saw people standing by the bar trying to get in. A crowd of people waiting by the bar, trying to get in line, in a line, like this, trying to get into our services. That's what's going to happen here. That's what's going to happen here. We're not going to be able to fill people in. That's why I need you, who've been here for a while, sit closer to the front so we have room for people who are new to sit in the back. You see what I mean? We need more room. That's why I don't want you to park right in front of the building. If you have kids, that's fine. But if you're disabled, that's fine. But park a little bit further. Leave the front for our guests. We want to make a good first impression. Right? That's why you clean your house when people come to your house, right? Might want to make a good first impression. But I want to tell you, God has a huge plan for New Life Church. This is the church where you're going to get married. Some of you young people, this is a church where you're going to bless your kids and even see your kids get married. And you know what? This is not going to be always our building. This place is becoming too small for us. I have people coming to me in the last month telling me, Pastor Alex, in 5 years, God told me you will not be in this building. This is going to be too small for you. I said, I believe it. I believe it. God is doing something. God has a dream for this church. God has a dream for your life. Would you become a part? Would you become a part of this big vision that God has? We're going to see thousands of people come to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Where are we at? So he puts him, Pharaoh, takes him out of prison, puts a ring, takes a ring off his finger, and puts it on Joseph. And from that moment on, Joseph has the wisdom to gather for 7 years. And later, in the 7 years of famine, watch what happens. His brothers come in, don't know who he is, come to Joseph and say, we need food. And they bow down to him and worship, just like Joseph had a dream when he was 17. God did what he said. In my life, God did what he said. Right here, he said that. You know, 10 years ago, he told me that you will be here. Yeah, and look at you, you're here. But let me tell you what he's saying for further. He's saying this place is going to be filled many times and we won't be able to fit people in this place. That's why we're going to do some remodeling in the lobby so we can fit more people. So our building could take the incoming flux of people. God's Spirit has said it. And when God said it, it is done. When God said, let the earth produce animals and things, the earth did it. When God, Bible says, the word of God will never return to him void. In your life, in our church life, in my life, in my family's life. And you can take it to the bank. I'm excited. that with God, dreams are possible, and our dreams do come true. Scripture, quickly, 1 Corinthians 2:9. Put that on the screen. 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is what the scripture means when it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Do you love God? Do we love God? Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm pumped up. I can preach another half an hour. Ephesians 3:20, and then we pray. Thank you, Father. Now all glory to God, who's able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Joseph had a little vision, little dream. His brothers were going to bow down to him. How big is our God? How much bigger did his dream become? That's the God we serve. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you know Jesus? Is He the Lord and Savior of your life? Are you living double life, and today you need to commit your life completely to Jesus? I want to give you that opportunity. Would you please bow your head and close your eyes? Do you know Jesus? Is He the dreamer? Is He the director of your life? Does He have a script for your life, or are you living according to your own script? If you're still living according to your own script, you're not that smart to make it all work out, all the details, because you can't see future. God does, and His plan is always better. For I know the plans, the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans to prosper, to give you hope and great future. Do you know that kind of a God? If not today, on a count of three, would you raise your hand and give your life to Jesus? Say, God, I want your plan for my life, not my plan for my life. Not the devil plan for my life. I want your plan for my life. On a count of three, if you want to give your life to Jesus, if you want to recommit your life to Jesus, please raise your hand and raise it high. One, two, three. Please raise your hand. One, two, three. Come on. Four. Thank you. Thank you. Four. Pray with me. Say, Jesus, save me. Forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you. I trust my life to you. Use me for your glory. I want to follow your plans for my life. In Jesus' name, from this moment on, I believe that I'm saved, I'm forgiven, and I'm a child of God. I have new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Clap your hands and bless God.